And we have Jono Lanaus on the line. He is the Healthy Ecosystem Manager from the Australian Conservation Foundation. And we're going to discuss the Carmichael coal mine, Adani's Carmichael coal mine. Morning, Jono. Welcome to 3CR.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us this morning. Now, the case against the Adani Carmichael coal mine was lost, and you are planning to appeal it. I wonder if you could give us a quick, perhaps, you know, description of what how you launched the case and what's the basis of your appeal.
Certainly. So Adani's proposed Carmichael coal mine would be the biggest coal mine in the Southern Hemisphere. It would dig up coal that, when burnt, would create 4.6 billion tonnes, not million, but billion tonnes of climate pollution, which would have a extraordinary impact on the atmospheric on the amount of carbon in the atmosphere and thereby on the Great Barrier Reef and, in reality, all native flora and fauna in Australia. So the ACF, building on the work done by many local conservation groups on the ground, decided to challenge the lawful approval of this mine in the federal court. The key ground that we took to the court was that 4.6 billion tonnes of climate pollution would have such an obvious detrimental impact on the Great Barrier Reef that the minister could not have been living up to his obligations to protect the reef under the World Heritage Convention when he decided to approve the mine. I think it's a fairly logical argument that we made.
It's common sense almost, isn't it?
Indeed. Unfortunately, what the judge found was that the Environment Minister at the time, Greg Hunt, had gone through a process of logic in which he had convinced himself that whilst, yes, there would be 4.6 billion tonnes of climate pollution, and yes, that could have an impact on the reef, there were too many uncertainties about what the rest of the world might be doing about climate change to argue that it would definitely have an impact on the reef. And therefore, the final step in his logic was there would be no impact, and he did not need to consider the impact of that pollution. And the judge found extraordinarily that under Australian environment law, the minister is perfectly entitled to make such an absurd conclusion.
Oh, dear.
Jeez.
So we cannot stand by and let such a finding stand. We need to test it by their full bench of the federal court. And we need to ensure that Australian environment law doesn't allow such absurd, life-threatening decisions to be made.
And that's such an, you know, an absolute a statement to make like that is such an absurd statement and such a ridiculous statement that it will have no effect on the reef at all. Because anyone with no knowledge about environmental science or anything like that can look and be like, well, it's obviously going to have an effect on the reef because it's a vast amount of pollution.
Indeed, but this is why we need to ensure that either this judgment does not stand and we will pursue it all the way to the highest court of the land if we need to, or if it still stands, then it proves clearly there is something broken at the very heart of Australia's environment protection law. If they can't protect the reef from such an obvious threat, they can't protect anything.
So what's the fundamental basis because of your appeal? You know, what are your points that you're using to appeal the decision?
Well, essentially, we are disputing the environment minister's claim that he made in the court that this coal will not have an impact on the Great Barrier Reef. We believe it or not, under our national environment law, we cannot appeal the merit of that decision. We cannot get into the scientific facts of the case and say that the impact on the reef would be unacceptable and the minister made the wrong decision.
Oh, really? You can't do that?
No, this is one of the great weaknesses of our environment law.
Oh, my goodness.
What we can do is say the minister did not properly consider the evidence and did not do so in a logical and lawful manner. Ultimately, if the minister still then went through that process and decided, well, there will be a significant impact on the reef, but I'm just going to let the mine go ahead, we would have very limited grounds to appeal that. It's an extraordinary thing about national environment law in Australia that many people don't realise.
Well, obviously, it's a deliberate way of writing the law so that the environment movement is weakened in any legal steps it takes.
And the corporations win every time.
Yeah. So how does this then... Sorry, go on.
Well, I think that's exactly right. And this is the bigger picture story that we need to tell. In Australia, it's a story that's been stuck on repeat for decades, if not centuries. That if you are a big business that can convince people there are jobs and profits to be had and you can donate to the right politicians, it doesn't matter what our environment laws say, doesn't matter what our cultural heritage protection laws say, you will have the right to get an approval and the community will not have a right to stand against it. It's a story we have to change.
It's interesting. The Financial Review has also written about this, and it says that Adani has assumed control of the existing coal export terminal at Abbott Point and is now looking at a staged ramp up of their mine. This means that they can reduce the initial cost of their project by billions of dollars, but be able to proceed with their massive coal mine, which will still be the biggest in Australia, and send thousands more coal-laden ships out through the Great Barrier Reef each year, all to generate billions of tons more greenhouse gas emissions. So that is a statement, you know, that's in the media. And I'm a little bit stumped at how there's such a lack of synchrony in the understanding of the legal system, the legal system's understanding of what's happening. And as you pointed out rightly, it's the law that is the obstacle. But the other aspect of that that I'm very curious about is that the international heritage protection it's supposed to have, how do they get past that?
It's a good question. And that was in fact, the the key legal argument we made was that because the reef is listed on the World Heritage Register, and Australia has signed the World Heritage Convention, and our national environment law puts an obligation on the minister to do his or her utmost to protect sites of world heritage, that this was clearly not in line with that obligation. The federal court found, however, that the minister essentially has this extraordinary discretion to decide in a case if there's some uncertainty about the potential of, you know, the cause and effect link, that, oh, well, you know, it's possible, I guess, someone else somewhere else might reduce their emissions and therefore it might not have that link, that the minister's entitled to say, well, I can't tell that much about whether or not there's an impact, so I'm just going to say there isn't one.
Oh, God.
That apparently is an extraordinary loophole in our environment law, and we think it needs to be closed, and that's why we're challenging this all the way to the full bench of the federal court.
Well, worthwhile venture, I'd say, and I hope you have lots and lots of support in this. At least we are worried about it. We're very worried as human beings, and we all should be worried. You know, one of the to put it in a personal angle, I guess, to this whole thing, when I was a kid in Malaysia, we were all taught about the great wonders of the world, and the Great Barrier Reef was one of them, and my dream was to go and see it, which I did see in 2010. But I look at it now, oh, my God, they're going to destroy the thing. It just breaks my heart just listening to it. I wonder how Australians feel about it in general. You know, you've got this case running. It's not highly publicized. The community, you know, there doesn't seem to be enough mobilization. We need a lot more mobilization around it. But it's a heartbreaking thing that it's almost like destroying the planet, isn't it? This is the beginning of it, in a sense. At least that's how I feel at a personal level.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And it's a reason that we do need to get the message out that this is, we cannot just simply stand by and allow decisions like this to continue happening, because if we stand by this decision, another one and another one and another one will happen. So
that's
it
right.
is actually time that we stood together and drew a line and said, we need to stop this story that big polluters are allowed to get away with killing the Great Barrier Reef, sending species extinct and so forth. It is not a story that we can afford to allow to repeat any longer.
No.
It's like the fracking story. We need to stop it. So how do you think people can get involved and support you in this particular, you know, challenge, I suppose, really? It's a mammoth one.
We've had a great outpouring of financial support because, of course, taking this challenge to the mine, to the court, is an expensive and risky exercise. But beyond that, we will be rolling out. This is not a short-term campaign. This is going to take years. We will be asking people, in particular electorates around the country, but everywhere, to get involved in making sure this is on the register of their local MP, because ultimately, whether we win or lose in the court, the decision ends up back in the hands of our elected representatives. We need to change this broken system. We need to say not just no to this mine, but to every mine after it. So we will be rolling out a national campaign, and we'd encourage people to get involved in that. Our website is acf.org.au, and you can click on community and get involved via that. It'll be a long-term effort, and we really need everyone to join us.
Yes, that sounds a very important thing to do, because if we can't stop that, that's it. You know, I don't have words to describe how this whole thing will break the hearts of so many people who have enjoyed, you know, the movie version of Great Barrier Reef in the movie Nemo and stuff like that. But this is the pits of exploitation and destroying land for money. It's the naked exposure of the capitalist desire to make profit. They don't really care, do they? Anyway,
it is. But Australians have stopped these things before.
That's true.
Jabiluka, we stopped the Gunns pulp mill. We stopped the Franklin Dam many years ago. We can do it again.
We can do it again. Absolutely right. And we shall go forward with that positive message in mind. And we shall put the news out and put it on the website as well. And thank you so much for giving us more information on this. And good luck. And we're all behind you. So, John, thank you so much for being available.
Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Pleasure.
Bye.